Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border, and we left off in Luke, chapter 18, where they're bringing children to the Messiah, and he says, suffer the little children to come unto me, verse 16, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why do you call me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these I have kept from my youth up. Now, when Yahshua, Jesus, heard these things, he said to him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that you have, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Basically, we get the point that here that it's an impossibility, right? Is it impossible for rich men to go to the to enter in the kingdom of God? Well, obviously, it's not an impossibility. But seemingly it would be an impossibility. And I've heard some other, interpretations of what he really said here, because it seems so absurd getting a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Oh, but it works for me. Basically, it's impossible because of what he says later on. Actually, this may also be his quirky sense of humor at work here too, drawing these extreme illustrations as he would. I mean, when he said things like, pluck out your eye and cast it from you, you got an illustration, a graphic image now in your mind of plucking your own eye out and casting it from you. And of course, like I say, we're not into self-mutilation, and that's not what the Messiah was teaching. And neither is he teaching that camels can actually go through the eye of a needle. And I'm not sure about needles back then. What was a needle? They couldn't have been like needles today that we make with the fine machinery we have, but they had some kind of needle, and the needle had an eye. So anyway, he says, and they heard that, and they said, well, then who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? Because everybody treasures some possession, and we're all trained. As the Messiah said, all these things do the nation seek. I don't think he was excluding Israel itself when he said that. After all these things do the nation seek, because Israel is a nation too. So they heard that and they said, well, who then can be saved? Nobody, right? And that's what they're feeling like, who can be saved? So he says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said to them, Verily I say to you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. I want to stop there and go back to this. Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time? Of course, some of these men, except for perhaps the younger ones who had not married yet, but some of these men were married and had families and wives, and that they left with their family to take care of. They left them behind. So what is he talking about here? Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time? I think we have a clue in something else the Messiah said when some people came to him, or when his mother and his brethren and his sisters came to him trying to get near him, but could not for the press of the crowd. And then someone yells out, "Hey, your mother and your family's out there, man." And he says, "Well, who is my family?" He says, "These who do the will of my Father, you know, they are my family." So we have a clue there, maybe perhaps of the more, because when we sow in his kingdom, everyone we reap for his kingdom becomes part of our family forever. And they become part of our family, the family of God, now even. So that's how I would reckon this verse. Continuing here in verse 31 of chapter 18. "Then he took unto him the 12 and said to them, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." You know, kind of like went in one ear and out the other. It seemed pretty plain what he's saying to us, because we have hindsight, we have the Word of God, we know the end. But he's saying these things to them and going, huh? Probably did not want to hear. This is not what they wanted to hear. They were going to follow Yahshua, the Messiah, forever. He was going to change the world, you know? And so you can imagine why they became dull of hearing and could not reconcile the things that he just said to them in private with what was going on around them. It's hard to reconcile. So they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Verse 35, "And it came to pass, as that he was coming nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And when they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Yahshua stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. So one of those rich men, it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, huh? Than for a rich man to be saved or to enter the kingdom. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of a little of stature. So he was a short man. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And so we have right there, we have a repentance by one Zacchaeus. First of all, he's going to give half of everything he has to the poor, and he probably has in mind that he cheated a few people in his collection of taxes, and he says, I'm going to restore fourfold. as the law required, or perhaps beyond what the law required. There's a lot to be learned in that little bit there. And Yahshua said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 11, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Remember, he said, it cometh not with observation. So perhaps they didn't pay too much attention to that statement. So they were thinking it was going to immediately appear because he was coming to Jerusalem. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass, when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And of course, this is the parable of the 10 talents from another gospel. Here we have pounds, the translation. And you'll see a little difference in the translation of Luke, and perhaps Luke's second hand compared to the first hand counts of that some of the apostles gave us in their gospels. So he says to the first, saying, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said to him, well, thou good and faithful servant, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said to him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, and that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say to you, that to every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay before me. It's a pretty rough saying there, you know, for the Messiah. First of all, you know, God gives us all talents, or pounds, as it's relayed here. And it's his gift to us, good things that we can take, talents, a life that we can use to earn more, to sow into his kingdom. And you had the 2 faithful servants that sowed into his kingdom, and they produced more. And then you had the one that produced nothing. He didn't sow anything at all in the kingdom of heaven. So he took that from him which he had given him. And that's how it is for all of us. Our Heavenly Father gives us a life to sow into his kingdom. And then there are those, of course, that will not allow him to reign over them. And he says, take them and slay them before me. So it's a fairly austere, would you not say, and fairly plain to understand. We continue here in chapter 19 and verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, and in which at your entering in you shall find a colt tied, whereon never yet a man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think I would ever sit on a donkey or a horse that never a man sat. But that's what he calls him to do. And bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And of course, they didn't speak King James English, so I'm sure they would have said something like, because Yahuwah hath need of him, calling on the name of the Lord, or the Creator himself, because God hath need of him. And they that were sent away, they found even as he said to them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said to him, why do you loose him? And they said, well, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set him thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had done. You know, by this act, Yahshua riding into Jerusalem on the colt of a ass that no man had ever ridden on before, well, he was proclaiming his kingship in Jerusalem as the son of David, the heir of the kingdom. And of course, he received the red carpet treatment as they were casting their garments upon the ground in front of the colt. And of course, the palm branches and the leaves and whatever they spread before him. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And you know what they're thinking? They're thinking, this is it. This is the kingdom of God coming. He's coming, Jerusalem. The king is coming. That's what they're thinking. And remember, they didn't understand what the Messiah told them. It was hidden from them what was going to happen in Jerusalem. And if they had understood, they could have at least focused on the after 3 days he's going to rise from the dead thing. But they didn't understand it. So they're fairly excited. The king, they understood what was going on. The king is coming. He's coming to the city of the king. So they started praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of Yahuwah, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees and from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke your disciples. And he said, and he answered, said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. What a picture. Here's the king, riding on the colt of an ass, the king, the son of David, the promised redeemer of mankind, coming to the city, coming to save, to bring the kingdom of God and save Israel. That's what's in the minds of his disciples and those that are following him at this scene, and him getting on the colt of an ass and riding like David in. And he begins to weep when he beholds Jerusalem. And weeping, this is what he says, if thou hadst known, even thou at least, in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And you know, why did they not know the time of the visitation? Because they did not have eyes to see, and they did not have ears to hear. And why didn't they have eyes to see? And why didn't they have ears to hear? Because they were idolaters, not living a righteous life before the Heavenly Father. They were more concerned with the things of this world than they were with pleasing their Creator. Well, we're going to take another short break here. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.